Welcome to North Place Church Online. We're so glad that you are joining us today, no matter where you're finding us, whether it's here in Durban or from anywhere in the world. We certainly are glad that you have connected with us here on Facebook or YouTube. To any guests that are here today, thank you for being here. We would love to connect with you further. All you have to do is type guest in the comment section. One of our team will reach out to you. We'd love to give you more information about North Place, or if we can pray for you or just connect with you in any way, we'd love to do that. Also, I want to say a very special welcome to any of our IEG friends who are joining us today. And North Place, we're so glad that you are here. We love you so much. We miss you. And we can't wait to connect with you in person. But in the meantime, if you have a prayer request or you have any sort of need, you can type prayer in the comment section, and one of our prayer team or one of our pastoral team will reach out to you shortly. Over the last several weeks, we have been studying what the Bible has to say about anxiety. In particular, we've been looking at the book of Philippians. Now, this is our fourth message in this particular series. And as we dive a little deeper into Scripture, we're learning about what it takes to overcome anxiety and to not just muddle through it, but to really get past it in a healthy way. See, Paul was writing to the church at Philippi from a place where he himself was struggling in a life-threatening situation. The people that he was writing to, their everyday existence was being threatened by what was going on in their life. And as a result of that, he was trying to equip them in how to overcome anxiety. Let's take a little bit deeper look. As we move forward, what we're going to understand is whether it is a diagnosed anxiety disorder or you're simply dealing with the implications of anxiety because of the pressures and stresses of life, the Bible isn't silent. In fact, the Bible gives us exactly what we need to get through. You see, anxiety is real and it's debilitating. You know it when it's happening in your life. You can feel it. Physically, sometimes you'll break into cold sweats, or emotionally, you'll go to a very negative or dark space. You can tell when anxiety is beginning to overtake you. But Paul, as he was writing to those people at Philippi, even from a place himself where he was suffering, he didn't leave them alone in their anxiety. Instead, he equipped them to overcome it. You see, anxiety shouldn't be ignored. It shouldn't be minimized, and it certainly cannot and should not be helped through a simple mantra or some sort of bumper sticker self-help slogan. Instead, we overcome anxiety by reframing our mind and reframing our heart. Let me very quickly remind you of the four things that we've learned so far from the book of Philippians about overcoming anxiety. The first thing that Paul taught us is that we overcome anxiety by embracing Christ's sufficiency. Secondly, he taught us that we overcome anxiety by prioritizing what matters. The third thing that we learned by looking deeply at the book of Philippians is that you and I have the power to overcome anxiety by changing our perspective. And then last week, we learned that we can overcome anxiety by rejecting unhealthy isolation. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been with us during this series, you can go on YouTube or you can go on Facebook and you can just scroll back a little bit and you'll find all of the messages. In fact, on our website, northplacechurchdurban.co.za, you can find a podcast of these messages and you can listen to them and get caught up if you'd like. You see, a massive implication of this pandemic, and one of the reasons that it has been so difficult for people to deal with, is that you and I were not created for isolation. We were created for relationship. Isolation has a way of choking the life out of us. I'd encourage you, go and listen to last week's message, and you'll learn a little bit more about how we avoid unhealthy isolation. Now, as we move forward in this series, I want us to look again at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but during this global pandemic, I certainly want the peace of God guarding my heart and my mind. Paul goes on to say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Once again, I'm so grateful that even during a global pandemic, as followers of Jesus Christ, we live our lives in such a way that the God of peace is with us, giving us peace. See, Paul had some practical and powerful instructions on overcoming anxiety that we've learned so far. But where we are in the series right now is at that point, right there where he says, finally. I love reading the Pauline epistles because Paul can be such to the point. You know, he'll make his case and then he like lowers the boom. He'll drop the bomb, and that's kind of where he is in this teaching to the church at Philippi. He's kind of bringing them to this point, all about reframing. See, reframing is an intentional and active process of changing the way I look and feel about something. Think about that for a moment. Reframing, it is intentional. It is something that I do on purpose. It's something that changes the way I think, and it's something that changes the way I feel. You see, reframing is not living in some sort of cognitive dissonance. In other words, it's not pretending as if something doesn't exist. Learning this was so important to me because in my faith journey, I really didn't understand faith. I don't know what it was about what I was taught or how I was taught it, but there was confusion that created in my life. I somehow or another felt if I had faith, it meant that I had to behave as if something I had felt or something I had experienced didn't exist. And yet that's not what biblical faith is all about. See, I misunderstood faith as meaning to deny what I felt or deny what I experienced. Paul never taught that to the church at Philippi. In fact, that's not what biblical faith is all about. Reframing our biblical faith is about intentional and actively changing the way I look at something or the way I feel about something. You see, the power of biblical faith or the power of reframing is that I have a choice. I can choose my response. You see, we can overcome anxiety by choosing our filter. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what filter am I living my life through? What filter creates the emotions, the feelings that I have in my heart? What filter is controlling my mind and my thought? You see, one of the things that I think about a lot is how anxiety affects us, and it affects the way that we look at the world. Anxiety has a way of causing us to be what I like to call an awfulizer. It's a word that I've made up. You can laugh. I totally made up the word. An awfulizer, though, is the kind of person who sees the awful or the worst in every situation. We've all been that person, or we certainly have all known that person. You know, it's the kind of person whenever you have something great or something positive happen and you talk to them about it, and then all they do is see the negative in the situation. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where perhaps you go to a restaurant and you just love your food, and so you're talking to a friend or someone and you say, oh, I went to this restaurant and I had the best pizza that I've ever had in my life. And yet they look at you and they say, oh, you know what? I've been to that restaurant before and I had terrible service when I was at that restaurant. Or they say, you know what? I went to that restaurant. My food was just too salty. Or no, you've never had the best pizza. I went to Italy one time and I had the best pizza in the world at Italy. Now listen, friend, it's okay for everyone to have their own opinion, but there's something about the power of anxiety in our life as it eats at us in such a way that we end up becoming just like that awfulizer. We become the kind of person who, no matter what is said, no matter what is done, we choose to take the negative perspective of it. We choose to minimize what is good, what is positive. Anxiety has power over us when we give it power over us, when we yield our feelings and when we yield our thoughts to anxiety. It causes us to see the worst about every situation. Anxiety causes us to choose a negative perspective of every situation, while reframing, on the other hand, is intentional and it is active. It's not passive. It doesn't sit back and just allow my thoughts and feelings to go in any direction, in every direction, and certainly not negative directions. Whenever I resist anxiety, I take a different approach. And that's exactly what Paul was trying to tell the church at Philippi. He said, listen, you have to reframe your mind and your heart. And the way you're going to do that is by choosing to think differently, choosing to have a different perspective or a different point of view. He said, listen, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Dwell on these things. Meditate on these things. When you break down those words, they mean a lot to us if you think about it for a moment. He said, whatever is true, that's what you want to think about. That's what you want to allow to guide your feelings. In my own life and the lives of others that I've coached or mentored through the years, this issue of what is true is so significant. See, we have a hard time sometimes separating fact from opinion. Oftentimes in my own journey, when I'm visiting with other people and a person begins to dwell on something that is creating anxiety in their life, one of the first things that I like to do is let's separate what is true, what is fact, from what is an opinion, what you are speculating. What I have often found in my own life, my emotions are being driven by something that isn't necessarily true, but it's my speculation about a circumstance, a situation, a person. Paul said, first and foremost, what you have to do is you have to think about what is true. I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with anxiety today, stop for a moment and ask yourself the question, is this true or is this an opinion? Is this true or is this speculation? Secondly, Paul says, whatever is noble, or in other words, whatever is honest. Certainly that's connected to this idea of truth, but it goes deeper and it goes further. Is this rooted in an honest perspective of this person, this situation, or this circumstance? He said, what is right? I love that word because it speaks to justice. It speaks to, am I giving God what he deserves? Am I giving the other person what they deserve? Am I giving myself what I deserve in this circumstance? I found in my own life, oftentimes I struggle with anxiety and I'm not being just with myself about a circumstance or a situation. I'm not being fair with myself about a circumstance or a situation. Paul said, whatever is pure, is your thought life, are your feelings and emotions rooted in something that is clean, that is wholesome, that is holy? Or is your thought life, are your emotions rooted in something that's not pure? Paul said, whatever is lovely. In other words, does this increase love? Does this multiply love? Does this cut off love? He said, whatever is admirable. I often wonder how many times we allow our mind and we allow our heart to go down a road that doesn't produce within our own life or our own testimony something that is admirable. In other words, something that produces a good report about me or about another person. Let me encourage you, friend. One of the things that you have to be so mindful of is your own self-talk, how you talk to yourself, how you talk about yourself. Paul is saying to those who he's writing to, be mindful of your talk about yourself and your talk about your others. Does it produce a good report? Does it produce a good name about this person and about yourself? Or is what you're saying awfulizing? Is it the most negative place that you can go to? He said, is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? You'll notice that all of these words are linked together. They sort of share some commonality. And it's because it's just like a filter. They're all woven together. See, I think a lot of times we allow anxiety to do its work in us because we say, oh, this is true. This is true, and so I'm going to focus on this thing because it's true. It's true that COVID-19 is destroying perhaps the economy where I live, and maybe to some extent that statement is true. But as you allow that statement to work its way into your life, as you allow it to be applied into your feelings and your thoughts and your imagination, does it necessarily mesh well with what is excellent and praiseworthy? You see, all of these things have to be woven together. That word praiseworthy in particular is so interesting because it comes with a connotation of discipline. In other words, this idea that my thoughts and my feelings are going to be disciplined, and I'm going to be disciplined in the way that I apply my thoughts and my feelings. The way that I see truth lived out in my life, truth must be lived out in a way that is trustworthy, and it must be lived out in a way that is right and just, but it also must be lived out in a way that is lovely, that is admirable. In other words, that produces a good report in others and myself. Just because I know something is true about someone doesn't mean that I cause it to create some scenario in my mind or my heart that causes that other person's name to be destroyed or causes my own name to be destroyed. You see, all of these things are woven together with discipline to create a filter in my mind and heart that produces within my life healthy thinking and healthy feeling. The thing about anxiety is that anxiety normalizes. It normalizes negativity through exaggeration. It exaggerates one aspect or one thought or one feeling or one emotion. It exaggerates those things and causes me to live in a place of negativity. You see, in your life and in my life, we can overcome. We can overcome. We can overcome anxiety by choosing not just to change the way we think and feel, not to just reframe the way we think and feel, but we also can overcome anxiety in our lives when we follow healthy patterns. See, as we discussed earlier in this series, Paul was drawing a comparison between the Judaizers and the example that those people at Philippi had in front of them, the people who weren't healthy in the way they were living out their faith in light of their anxiety. He drew a comparison between themselves and him. And he said, listen, if you and I are going to successfully walk out our faith in light of suffering, in light of anxiety, then we have to follow healthy patterns. Anxiety not only isolates us, but it causes us to be drawn into a pattern or to be drawn to people who validate or who reinforce negativity in our life. If you've ever been stuck in anxiety, if you've ever known anyone in anxiety, then what you've noticed about them or you've noticed about yourself is that you're drawn to thoughts and you're drawn to people who validate negativity. Paul, on the other hand, said, listen, you need to follow a pattern in your life. You need to follow the example of people who are moving through anxiety, who are moving through suffering in a healthy way. In other words, people who are where you want to be, accomplishing what you want to accomplish. you and I have to look for people who are demonstrating health in the area that we are struggling, and we have to follow their example. If you're dealing with anxiety in the area of your marriage, or if you're dealing with anxiety in the area of perhaps your career, if you're dealing with anxiety in any area of your life, you and I have to reach out and look for people who are healthy in those areas, and then we have to follow them. In other words, if my marriage is suffering, if I have anxiety around my marriage, I don't go and ingratiate myself to or follow the example of someone else's marriage that is falling apart. I don't follow the example of another man who's angry at his wife or has a dysfunctional relationship with his wife. Instead, I go out and I find somebody who's setting a healthy pattern, who's living at peace in that relationship, and I learn from them. I follow their example. If I'm struggling with my self-esteem, I don't go around and hang out with other people who are struggling with their self-esteem. No, I go and I find people who are healthy in that area, and I follow their example. Overcoming anxiety doesn't have to be something that is a mystery to us. The book of Philippians lays it out in a very clear way. Paul said to us, listen, we can overcome anxiety by embracing Christ's sufficiency. We can overcome anxiety by prioritizing what really matters. We can overcome anxiety by changing our perspective and by rejecting healthy isolation. And then today we've learned that we can overcome anxiety by choosing our filter. How do you think? How do you feel? You're not left up to the whims of your emotions, and you're not left up to the whims of your imagination. Instead, you can be active and intentional in how you think and how you feel. I'm not saying we deny it. I'm not saying we act like it doesn't exist, but instead, we reframe it. And then lastly, we learn today that we can overcome anxiety by following healthy patterns. Now listen, friend, I realize it may be difficult during lockdown to get around people who are healthy, but I want to encourage you right now. I want to encourage you, reach out and find people in your life who are healthy. If you're watching this video today and you've been dealing with anxiety, you've been overwhelmed with anxiety, I want to ask you, reach out to us right now. Whether it's in the comment section or if perhaps that's too overt for you or too public for you, you can private message us right now. One of our pastoral team will be in touch with you as quickly as possible. We want to pray with you and we want to help you. And perhaps if you're struggling in a particular area, we want to connect you with someone who's maybe healthy in an area that you're struggling. Someone who can mentor you, someone who can talk with you, someone who can give you the tools that you need to reframe what's going on in your life right now. Can I pray with you? Father, I love you and I thank you so much for your word that is true. For your word that empowers us and enables us to overcome anxiety. For anyone that is watching today, for anyone who may be dealing with anxiety, I pray that the peace of the Lord would go right to where they are, that by your Holy Spirit, you would begin to reframe their mind and their heart. I pray right now that by your Spirit, you would begin to cause them to see things differently. Lord, I ask you, for anyone who may be watching this video, who's not walking in relationship with you, or maybe if they are in relationship with you, they're struggling in a very real way. I pray, Father, that you would just flood in by your presence and begin to make a change in their life. Lord, I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time, I just wanted to say to you, friend, if you've listened to this message or any of the messages in this series and you'd like someone to pray with you or connect with you, just write prayer in that comment section or reach out to us through private message and we'll get in touch with you shortly. God bless you and have a great week in the Lord.